This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
8 o'clock hour kicking off here on a Thursday. Gosh, winning just changes the mood.
It's sunny out. It was cloudy before.
It was?
No, it wasn't.
It's cool outside.
Oh, it's gorgeous.
My kid is enjoying school. I got the house to myself when I go home.
I hear he's staying up later, so you get more time with him at night.
Yeah, that's cool, too. Cooking different things. The Cowboys are winning. I mean, we're in a recession. Besides that, everything's good.
Yeah, just now got that recession.
Everything's fantastic.
Just now.
Well, I don't know if there's a technical number, but
there probably is.
Some of the numbers came out. QT GDP falls minus 0.6%, officially puts the U.S. economy in a recession.
Does anyone know what GDP actually is?
Smart people, trade and wealth. That's why you talk to those individuals and don't try to mess with the finances yourself.
Yeah.
That's just me.
I try to fake it, but I really have no idea what I'm talking about.
All right, we're going to have Babe. Joe Theismann is calling me right now.
Uh-oh.
Joey, just keep calling that number. He's calling the cell. So he's supposed to be calling the hotline. So we'll get him straight with that. But Babe Laufenberg will join us at 8:40 this morning as we're two former Washington quarterbacks.
Uh-huh.
What was their gap in Washington, I wonder, around each other? Laufenberg, if you're up, go ahead and hit us up and let us know.
Wait. Wasn't Babe didn't Babe get a phone call? Wasn't he there? I think he was there with Joe.
Laufenberg in Washington, 83-84.
Joe was there.
Then 85. Then 87.
Yeah, I think he got a phone call after. I think he was sitting there. Boy, I think he's told the story. He was on a beach when Joe broke his leg. We'll have to ask him that. I think there's a story there. I think there's a connection.
Because Theismann was there. Yeah, 74-85. Well, had to be there. We'll ask if he's got any Laufenberg stories.
Sure. I'll bet you. I'm almost positive that Joe and Babe, when Joe broke his leg, that Babe was like signed right then and there after that. Pretty sure. But they obviously played together with 83, 84.
Okay. So having some delay issues and some problems with Joe Theismann.
This is Joey's. Joey's like 20 years old. He's never used a phone with that has a keypad on it before. It's always been a cell phone, always on the celly.
Joe Theismann now on the Diamond Factory Hotline. Good morning, Joe. How are you, buddy? Joe?
Yeah, hello?
Yeah, we got you?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. It sounded like you broke up for a second, but we got you now,
right? Yeah, no, actually, I could hear you guys before, but you couldn't hear me.
Okay, no. Okay. You have any good Babe Laufenberg stories? He's coming up at the end of the hour.
Other than the fact that I put him back in the game.
Yeah, other than that.
No, yeah, Babe, Babe was, I think, on a beach in Cabo.
Joe? Right. Put him on hold, Joey. Tell him his connection is bad. We got phone issues right there. So,
yeah, I knew there's a beach story somewhere with Babe and Theismann when he busted up the leg. That's a story. Like, that's a good story.
Yes.
Hey, what are you doing? I'm in Cabo. Oh, you want me back in the NFL? All right, then.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm going to take care of this right now.
So Babe will join us at 8:40. We got to ask Theismann about these Lawrence Taylor-Micah comparisons And when is the misery going to end there in D.C.? It's just misery. You can't. They can't get out of it.
Gonna give the poor guy nightmares if you ask about Lawrence Taylor.
All right, one more time, Joe Theismann. Good to go.
Hello, guys. How are you?
Doing well, Joe. We never forget how you told us Dak's healing process would play out, and you ended up being right. And now here we are asking some more questions about Dak Prescott. You know, Jerry starts the little controversy with Cooper Rush. How have you evaluated the Cowboys' QB situation?
Let me just say this, okay? What's Cooper Rush making?
Nothing.
Nothing, basically.
Okay. What's Dak Prescott making?
$40 million.
40.
There is no quarterback controversy. I mean, you know, what Jerry was saying basically was he hopes Cooper plays really well, and that'll give him two options. It'll give him, you know, obviously in Dak, he's got his starter, and then it'll also give him a quarterback who believes he can continue to lead this football team and win football games. That's all, you know. What Jerry was saying is, hey, I hope Cooper plays really well.
Yeah.
You know, that's all it was. Because when you got one making $40 million and another making, let's just say, two, there is no controversy. I mean, as soon as Dak's ready to go, Dak's going to be the quarterback again. But, you know, Cooper's doing exactly what you'd hope for a quarterback, a backup quarterback, to do for you. The other quarterback on the team. Win football games. Keep the team competitive until Dak can get healthy.
But, Joe, after the first half MVP season Dak had last year, you know, things were kind of never the same. He got nicked up again in the middle of the season. Have you seen anything in his game that is off or really needs improving? Or you think the Cowboys are absolutely good to go moving forward with their franchise guy?
I think right now, the biggest thing is he keeps missing time.
Yeah.
The one thing I stress to any young quarterbacks I talk to, the most important thing you can do for your team is to be available to play and practice. That's why let's take an example. Zach Wilson, first preseason game, instead of running out of bounds, decides to plant his foot and cut back in to try and gain two or three more yards. Now he's gone for, you know, four or five games. And in Dak's case, they've been unfortunate. I mean, he's had just some unfortunate luck when it comes to, you know, we've all hit our thumb. Maybe it's a weak injury. You know, maybe it's, you know, it's a bruise. But, you know, in Dak's case, it was a, you know, obviously they said a broken bone or something that needed to be fixed. So it's 4 or 5 weeks. I told you last year, the leg injury is a 2-year injury. It takes time. He wound up with trouble with his shoulder. Or he wound up with trouble with his calf. Those were all a result of the lack of power in his leg. Now, with his thumb, it's a question of, will he be able to cut it loose and have the grip that he needs going forward? The good news, I guess you could say, is Dak's injury occurred at a time when the weather isn't really cold. It's not wet, it's not rainy, it's not cold. Mm-hmm. So that could help him. But I think Dak can get back to being, you know, get back in a groove, but he's got to stay. He's got to practice every day. He's got to be in games every day to sort of get himself back to that, you know, that period of time where he was prior to before he got hurt last year.
Joe, let's look at Carson Wentz. You know, 3 games in, what's he do better than you expected, and what's sort of disappointed you the most about him?
Well, I think I wouldn't say nothing's disappointed me. I mean, he's been under siege. I don't care who you are as a quarterback, when you don't have time to throw the football, it doesn't matter whether you're, you know, Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Dak Prescott, it doesn't matter who you are, it's difficult to operate. I think he's protected the ball pretty darn well. He's made decisions with the ball in his hands in the past that have created some issues. He's done a better job protecting the ball in that instance. But, I mean, it's, you know, Washington's been a team that just hasn't been able to score in the first half of football games. I mean, the first half of football games have been tough. And, you know, your defense is left out on the field for a long period of time, and it wears down. I mean, this is something else that's interesting, too. Because the vets don't play any preseason games, I look at the first two, and now with 17 games, the first 3 games – as preseason games for conditioning purposes, holding onto the football. How many think of the games over these last 3 weeks. How many guys have put the ball on the ground? How many guys have dropped passes?
Scoring is way down.
Yeah, it's because there's no preseason, because your vets don't really get pounded on. You don't get somebody pulling the ball away from you. You don't get hit. You can't hit in practice.
Yeah.
So this is a result of the rules of football today, and it's something we're going to have to live with. So, you know, to me, I think Carson's done a good job of protecting the ball. He's made throws when he's had to. And you know, he's made some that, you know, you wish you had back, but every quarterback does that. I don't care who you are. And so to me, you know, he just needs to get protection. I think this is, again, I've said this before. You know, I watched Dallas the other night. I mean, that front is just – Philadelphia's front is incredible. Dallas's front, five. And Dan Quinn – I guarantee you, as Washington gets ready for this game, they better alert their running backs, tight ends, and everybody, because pressure's coming. The floodgates are going to be open based upon what they saw against Philadelphia. And this is what teams do. They'll look at it. Dan's going to bring pressure anyway. And you've got talent. And I said this on a radio show last week. Micah Parsons, to me, is the closest thing that we have seen to Lawrence Taylor in this league in a long, long time. His athleticism, his quickness, where they say run 4.35 at that size, his speed, and you know, when he gets a shot at somebody, he doesn't miss them. If he's coming, he's either going through you or around you or under you. I've been so impressed with his ability to be able to play the game. You know, the unique thing about Lawrence was his ability to be able to dissect an angle when he ran people down, his ability to be able to make people miss when they tried to block him. And then there's that last minute acceleration when he gets close to where a tackle is. And like I said, I'm not saying he is Lawrence, because I'm not one of those people that says, well, this guy's the next Michael Jordan.
Right.
No, there's only one Michael Jordan. There's only one Lawrence Taylor. You know, those are unique individuals. Those are, you know, as we like to refer to them, generational people. Mm-hmm. But I think Micah Parsons is probably as close to anybody, if you want to compare him to someone in the history of the game, to Lawrence Taylor.
Joe Theismann, I love the series of Football Life. They focused on Joe's as well on the NFL Network, joining us every single year on Sean and RJ. And I think I remember this correctly from when we asked you about Micah in the past. You know, we've wanted him just to line up at that DN pass rushing position and just wreak havoc. But I think you and every other quarterback, and we tried to convince Dan Quinn and McCarthy, they said no, that it's better to line him up in different spots. Do you feel the same way?
Absolutely. Are you kidding? Dan didn't listen to you?
No, he didn't listen. Nor Jerry.
Oh. Come on, guys. What are they thinking? I mean, with all the knowledge that you've accumulated
Joe.
All the experience that you have in this game. No, I think that I really think that what they want to do is match him up. They want the best matchups. A lot of times, you know, if you line them up, on the end, you know, you can always bring a tight end over, or you can chip with a back or try and chip with a back. But you can create a little bit more of a traffic jam for him. I think what they try and do is move him into situations where you'll see games. You'll see the ENTs, the tackles, the end switch. You'll see the tackles. Basically, what they'll do is they'll try and pull a guard or pull a tackle and create a lane straight up the middle. So, I mean, to me, his versatility was something that was special. And basically, the Giants did that with Lawrence to a degree. Lawrence didn't always rush from the one side. And the other thing is Leonard Marshall was next to him. I think – if you really delve into the game a little bit, it's not just that unique individual like Micah is, but who's he lining up next to, and how do you have to block that individual? This was the concept of the 46 defense of the Bears. They wanted five guys up front to block five guys individually, knowing full well that they had better athletes on that side of the ball than you had on the offensive line. That was their theory.
Right.
And I think with Mike, it's the same thing. But who lines up next to him? You know, do you chip him and not help the guard? Do you chip him, not help the center? So, I mean, that's the situation and the problems that he presents because of his abilities.
So it's not so much like, you know, moving him around, it's making sure that he's rushing on every play. Like, that's my issue. Like, I don't care if he's necessarily rushing from the middle or side. I just don't want him dropping back into coverage, right? Because he's just so good at rushing the pass.
No, he has those kind of skills as well. No, I mean, you know, he's very young. I mean, you see someone of this talent and you think, wow, but you forget that there's so much more to this game. Every game is a learning process for him. Every game is a teaching moment for him. Every play is a teaching moment. And, you know, and like I say, you know, Dan Quinn's just a heck of a football coach. I mean, but let's face it. I mean, he has been. And his concepts, and when you have athletes to be able to do things with, makes a world of difference.
Joe, let's try to unite during this week of rivalry. Let's unite on something. and please tell us that Jalen Hurts has not taken the official leap, that we can still hope that they're overachieving and Philly is not this for real. Where do you stand?
I think Philly is for real. I think they're a football team that's, you know, their offense is explosive. I think A.J. Brown makes a world of difference. You know, sometimes that one individual gives you confidence from a quarterback's perspective. I think Jalen's the kid's continuing to learn. This is really like his second year. He's learning how to play the position. He throws a lot of 50-50 balls. And right now his guys are catching them.
Yeah.
It's a long season. I mean, but he trusts his receivers. And the thing is, he trusts them and they come down with them. And that's been sort of the way these games. It's like Tua. Tua does the same thing down in Miami. You know, you put the ball in a position where it isn't going to be you're hitting everybody in stride all the time, that somebody's going to have to make a play, and that's basically what they've done. But I think, you know, Philadelphia is a team that you have to look at and say, you know, they've got a lot of things going for them. They like to run the football, and they throw when they have to. And if you can like to run the football and you have success, now you're really putting defenses on their heels, because now you can't take the guy out of the middle because you've got guys going down, you know, the field. I mean, you look at your football team. I mean, Turpin can flat out fly.
Yeah.
You know, people are going to go, well, now really Joe's gone completely nuts. Okay. But I mean, you look at what Tariq Hill does. Tariq more than just catches the ball. When you have speed like that on the field, and CeeDee does the same thing, Lamb. When you have that kind of speed, it's tough to bring safeties up to support the run game.
Man, why don't you get back in a broadcast booth? I mean, one of our all-time favorite teams was
really
Theismann, Patrick, and McGuire. Yep. These broadcasters are all getting paid. Why don't you go back in a booth?
Well, listen, I would love to, but I think they've made decisions that they want other people in there, and good for them. You know, I mean, it's funny. Now you got $50 million quarterbacks. In 1984, right, I was the fourth highest paid player in the league at $1 million a year.
Wow.
And in broadcasting, I actually made more in broadcasting than I did playing football.
Wow.
And that pales by comparison to where the guys are getting now. I'm happy for everybody having the opportunity to be able to take advantage of the situation and the dollars that are being made. I mean, football is always going to be the number one sport for three specific reasons. Number one, you have the rabid fans. Everybody, you know, the fans of the team. You've got those. That's your foundation. Then you get fantasy football, because everybody if you're in an office, everybody wants to play.
Yeah.
Whether you like the game or not, you have to be involved. And thirdly, gambling.
Yes.
I mean, you look at all the advertising today in football. Where is it? You know.
Yeah.
It's Caesars. It's MGM. It's DraftKings. It's you know, FanDuel. I mean, you name it. Everybody's involved in it, I guarantee you, mark my words, and I promise you that Jerry's Stadium Jerry's World is wired this way. All the new stadiums are wired. Real soon, you're going to be able to be sitting in the seats, bring out your phone, and say, "Okay, I think this play is going to be a pass. I'm going to bet $5 on this play. It's going to be a pass.
Yeah.
I'm going to bet this one's going to be a run." And that's, you're going to see in stadium gaming. That's the next thing that's going to happen.
You're right.
When it comes to it, it's on its way.
You're the best, man. Thank you so much. Sorry about the phone, and enjoy the game Sunday.
Hey, no problem. Just tell Babe. All he needs to do is send me a check because I got him back in football.
We'll tell him in 20 minutes. Joe Theismann on the Diamond Factory Hotline. Judge finally hit 61, and why this Rangers season is extra disappointing, according to Ralph James Choppy. Next on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
And the 3-2. Drill deep to left field. This could be it. See ya. He's done it. Number 61. He's been chasing history, and now he makes it. He and Roger Maris are tied with 61 home runs, the most anybody has ever hit in a single season in American League history.
Michael Kay with the call on Yankees TV. He finally hit it. And it was caught by the bullpen coach after a couple of guys out in left field couldn't make that grab. Mm. And now the Yankees are going to take on the Orioles before finishing out the season for four in Arlington.
Yep, Frankie Lasagna is the guy who dropped the ball. Frankie Lasagna.
Who does what?
He, ironically, is an Italian restaurant owner. Mm. No surprise here. Yeah. So he dropped the ball. And then he threw the glove at the person standing behind him, like in disbelief. I can't believe I dropped the baseball.
May as well change my name to Sharif Samosa. Just change it up. Go right to the ethnic group.
A samosa?
A samosa.
Is that a mimosa with scotch? What is that?
You know what a samosa is.
I don't think I do.
Joey, do you know what a samosa is?
Not a clue.
Is it S-I-M-O-S-A?
Ryan, samosa?
He says no.
Man, they said it with attitude, too.
Samosa Hut.
A samosa.
Oh, there's one in Irving.
Do you see what it is?
Looks like a dumpling. A fried dumpling.
It's kind of like an Indian dumpling, yeah. It's kind of like an Indian fried dumpling.
Okay. Spiced potatoes, onions, and peas.
Or ground beef. Whatever you want to put is a filler. It's kind of like
delicious.
It's kind of like our version of the egg roll.
Origins of India, Sri Lanka. The Middle East and the subcontinent. Okay.
We got to just do random food segments here every once in a while.
I mean, look, I hear samosa. All I hear is mosa.
Mosa.
That's all I hear is mosa, which is mimosa. And if you don't have a bottomless carafe, then you got to go find some other brunch spot.
So Frankie Lasagna, he had to have changed that last name for
his
business.
I'm assuming he did.
I've never heard of the Lasagna family. He doesn't get the Judge home run. It goes to the Blue Jays bullpen coach, who's the husband of Sarah Walsh, ESPN anchor, and of course he gives the ball back. So now they're trying to figure out Judge's contract. You were gonna playing around with a Rangers scenario.
Yeah. So Judge is
the Rangers were put fifth or sixth on the odds list from Bet Online.
They were. So he turned down 7 for like 213 in the offseason. Okay. There's some rumors that it got up to high as 230, but he still said no. Now he's 30 years old. If he said, I want to be a Texas Ranger, okay, but it's going to cost you 8 years and $325 million at 30 years old, like, do you say yes if you're the Rangers? Like, in the NBA, you just say yes. Sure, come on over here.
Right.
But in baseball, where one player doesn't change the scope of the organization as drastically as it does in the NBA, do you say yes?
No. I would say no. I would say no. You?
I would probably say no. probably say no. Because you're gonna get
the injuries.
Well, there's injuries with him. There's no doubt about
that.
And
you have to win the title in 4 years.
Yes, you had a 4 year window. Now look, you gotta win that in 4 years anyway because of Simeon's age.
Yeah.
So your window is the same, right? Now the only difference is that you're just gonna extend the window.
I guess if you went for was that the beginning of going for it with this past offseason?
I mean, $500 million is a hell of a way to go for it.
Right?
It might be. Like, look, I don't think.
Sandler just texted me, you say no to Judge.
I agree you say no because it's going to be too much money. They're going to give, Bassick said they're going to give him, he made himself $100 million this year during the season, which.
Ooh.
Man, I always thought like baseball owner or general manager seemed to be a little bit further along in the analytics with the in terms of how you sign guys. I don't foresee them being dumb enough to overrate 1 year and just say, okay, you went from a $200 million player to a $300 million player in 6 months. I don't know they're going to do that, but someone is. It only takes one. Someone's going to do it. It's probably going to be the Mets who will just money whip him. Because they wanted to steal him from the Yankees, and they want to get a really good player.
Right.
But, man, if it's 8 for $325 and I'm the Rangers, I don't know that I say yes.
No.
I don't know that I say yes. He's, to me, if he was 26, I would say yes.
Jared said 30 years old, 6'7", 8 years, no chance.
Too much. Again, if he was 26 years old, I would do it. But at 30, and he does have a history of injuries, especially like oblique. He always gets an oblique injury. I don't know that I'm doing that.
Speaking of the Rangers, some extra bitter disappointment.
A little bit.
On their season that you found.
So I saw this article yesterday.
By the way, Babe Laufenberg coming up in 10 minutes.
I'm just going to read this. We are in the middle of September during a home run chase and a pennant chase, and Albert Pujols is getting 700. And the first line of this article, three members of the Texas Rangers infield seem likely to finish 2022 among the top 50 hitters in the ESPN player rater, and perhaps a fourth joins them as a key fantasy provider next season. They didn't sniff the postseason, but Nathaniel Lowe found his power. Marcus Semien and Corey Seager, despite neither contending for a batting title, certainly aided fantasy managers. And they go on. Semien assumed the leadoff role after 6 seasons of stealing double-digit bases. He reached base a career-best 17 by the All-Star break and kept on running. Seager, 30 home runs for the first time. Semien and Seager, top 50 picks on draft day, of course. And then you add in Josh Young. So you keep on looking at this, and you're like, wait a second. They had guys who had really, really, really good years. Three of their primary infielders were in the top 50. And then when you add Young to the mix, you know, this is not at the infield of a 100-loss team.
Right.
It's not. You know, they've got pieces in place. They're not the best defensively. You know, no one's going to confuse, you know, Corey Seager with Ozzie Smith. But, and according to the Fielding Bible, they're like bottom third of defensive runs saved as a team. By the way, I went and looked. All the top five are going to be in the playoffs. 9 of the top 12 in defensive run saves are going to make the playoffs if Milwaukee gets in.
So defense matters, RJ Choppy.
Defense and pitching. It does matter. They've got pieces in place offensively. Obviously, it's pitching and defense. But, you know, when you tell me I've got 3 of the top, 50 infielders offensively, that's a good problem to have. It's just like, man, I wish they weren't a 100-loss team.
I know the season's not over. Why haven't we heard any manager hype?
Because the season's not over.
Still.
I think that's about it.
You tell me if Mike McCarthy goes in week 12, we're not talking nonstop about the next head coach? I know it's the Cowboys.
Well, it's the Cowboys, and also the manager in baseball means a little bit less than the head coach in football.
Still.
You know, I think also you've got to see, you know, what is Philadelphia? I don't think they gave Rob Thompson the full-time job. You know, what about the White Sox? Is Tony La Russa going to come back? There's other jobs that they got to figure out. I think a lot of these managers want to wait and see because, you know, the White Sox job theoretically is an enticing one.
Yeah.
Philadelphia, you get to manage Bryce Harper. That should be an enticing job. What's going to happen? Is Phil Nevin taking over the Angels? Or, you know, I mean, get in line. Like, if I'm a manager, if I'm available, like, I want to manage Mike Trout and Shohei? So I think that may be a reason why.
Babe Laufenberg, Cowboys color analyst. Let's see if he has written the check to Joe Theismann. And let's start previewing the Commanders with Babe every Thursday at this time. He joins us next on Sean and RJ, 105.3 The Fan. It's Sean and RJ here on DFW Sports Station. Thanks for being a Tolo. That stands for Turn It On, Leave It On. Every Thursday at this time, it's Cowboys analyst Babe Laufenberg on the Diamond Factory Hotline. Have you sent Joe Theismann his check yet?
Joe made a lot more money than I did.
Oh.
So I sent him a thank you card. He was in the hospital. He was in the hospital when I sent it to him, but I did send him a thank you card.
You didn't go see him in the hospital?
Oh, I love Joe. I was playing.
Oh.
Remember, I got called back into duty.
So you were in Cabo?
I was in Cabo. Want to hear the whole story?
Yes.
So I had been released that year. They only kept two quarterbacks. They felt terrible about not keeping me. You know how that goes, all that. So I get a call. Washington, I got to keep up with the name change. Washington started out poorly. Joe was playing poorly that year. So they called me and said, hey, would you be willing to come back? Because they thought they were hard feelings, and there kind of were. But, you know, you can give me a job? Sure. They called me the week before. Saying Bobby Bethard, saying, would you consider coming back this and that? We don't know where we're going to go. And I said, yeah, I would do that. Well, so when I was in Cabo at the Giggling Marlin, if anyone has ever been there, we're watching the only place. It was a true satellite dish there. I mean, true satellite where you had the, you know, 40-foot thing. It passed as a television, but then during the day, it was an advanced warning weapon system too. It was one of those deals.
So, wow.
We're in the bar. I see him get hurt. I know they're trying to call me. I also know there are literally no phones at that time in Cabo San Lucas. You had to go to the post office and have them place a call.
Wow.
That's how primitive it was. So the next morning, we finally get a call out, because there was no guarantee that the call would actually get out and go through the United States. So anyway, finally got it. And yes, they're trying to sign me. And I flew from Cabo to Los Angeles during the day. And then flew overnight to Washington. I was on the same flight with Johnny Unitas. How cool was that?
Wow.
And I think for the first time in my life, I flew first class. So I literally got off the plane in Washington. Keep in mind, 5-hour flight, you lose 3 hours. And I get off the plane and take a shower in the facility and go straight to practice. As you know, it was a Monday night game, right? So we were starting up. So pretty interesting. But, yeah, I love Joe.
What would you have done if you made that phone call and nobody answered? Because, like, there's no cell phones. Like, we just
cell phone.
You should sit there and you're just going to wait in the post office for them to call back?
We called about four times, because it took, like, a minute for the call to get dispatched through, and they'd say, okay, yeah, it didn't connect. I would just sat there. We had no phone. There were no phones in the hotel, and we stayed at a decent hotel. Matter of fact, that's where I met Bruce Springsteen, was staying at the same hotel.
Wow.
Oh, my God.
Wow, the name dropping.
Did you see the photo I sent, or I posted last week? And if you didn't, go to my Twitter, and it's a picture. It's a photo of Bruce Springsteen and me that was on that trip in Cabo. We're standing. He's got his arm around me.
Did he know who you were?
Want to hear something funny? He was at the height of his popularity. I mean, he's still, right, Bruce Springsteen. I don't know that it's ever really diminished, but he had just come out with Born in the USA, finished that tour. It was, again, literally he was the biggest star, bar none, in rock and roll music. I come to find out, my friend said there was a guy down there, kind of a bellman, obviously Hispanic guy, right? We're at a Mexican hotel in Cabo. He found out that I'd played football. He didn't know the difference between Babe Laufenberg and Roger Staubach, right? Mm-hmm. He just knew this guy plays in the NFL.
Right.
And again, smaller world. I don't even know if they got, you know, what they got done. They weren't doing fantasy leagues. Let me just say that. So he tells Bruce, you got to say hello to this guy. He plays American football.
Wow.
Not knowing who Bruce Springsteen was.
And I know that made you sick.
Oh, to this day, we got such a chuckle out of it. No, I did. I just, you know, yeah, Bruce really needed to meet me.
Yes. Babe Laufenberg here on 105 Through the Fan. I want to know what you think when you hear Dak say that what he's benefited from the most on the sidelines is just realizing how simple the game can be, and he can't wait to get back to that. What do you think when you hear that? Can you explain?
I thought he was right on. And it's funny because it sounds counterintuitive, right? Everybody says, oh, you got to play. I don't mean Dak necessarily. He's played enough. But the game, when you're on the sideline, it slows down for you. It really does. You see a lot more than when you're trying to handle everything that you're doing on the field. And I'll take the reverse kind of point of that. I felt this way, and I know probably every backup quarterback in NFL history felt this way, before you really get out there and play. I mean, before you start, okay, here we go. You always look at it and you say, well, I would have made that throw and that one, and I would have made the one that he missed. Right. Or I would have checked it down. Oh, I would have thrown the ball away there. He took a sack. I would have got rid of that ball.
Yeah.
And then you get out there and you're like, holy hell, this is a little different than being on the sideline and be able to process all this. So I knew exactly what he was saying. And it's funny, I'll never forget, Ed Werder was not with ESPN 1 year, or maybe a couple,
right,
whatever it was. And anyway, he was doing the sideline for maybe Westwood One. But anyway, he was down on the sideline for games. And Ed said to me, I don't see how you guys ever complete a pass. Because once you get down there and you see how quick it moves, mm-hmm. and the windows you're throwing into. And again, I always tell Brad, hey, where's it easy to play quarterback from? 200 feet in the air. When I'm up there and I can see everything, and it's great. I can make good decisions up there. Then you get down there and it happens so quickly, and it's there and it's gone. So anyway, to answer your point, yes, I know exactly what Dak is saying. I think when you're a starter, like he was and will be, by the way, the game will slow down when you get a chance to sit back a little bit and go, oh, okay. And when you get out there, there's no question the game speeds up for you. When you're that backup and you say, oh, give me a shot. And then you get out there and say, whoo, that's different.
Theismann said that get ready because the Cowboys are going to be coming after Wentz with their protection. And I know you wanted to highlight DeMarcus Lawrence with what he did to Evan Neal in that Giants game. So let's talk about Tank and that pass rush a little bit.
Yeah, they've been relentless, have they not? And it's funny, too, because we all talk about Randy Gregory. And by the way, he had a heck of a game Sunday night for Denver, if you watch that game.
Yeah.
But you kind of forget about him now, right? Because this pass rush has been, Dorrance Armstrong. We all know about Micah. Tank Lawrence gets his three. But the funny thing, too, was about that. So Evan Neal, as you guys know, he's the right tackle for the New York Giants. He is a rookie. He was the seventh pick in the draft, right? And this is a guy, he was the number one offensive lineman recruit coming out of high school. He goes to the most prestigious program right now in America, Alabama.
Yep.
3-year starter at Alabama. And he gets out there, and he doesn't look like he would make your Pop Warner team.
Yeah.
RJ wouldn't want him protecting his own son. Now, it's not a knock on him. It just goes to show. You always hear, right, that Alabama or Georgia last year, or fill in the blank, the best college team
ever. Yeah.
They would beat Jacksonville. If Jacksonville doesn't look like the worst team in the NFL this year, but they were for the previous 2 years. They'd beat Jacksonville, or they'd beat fill in the blank. They wouldn't even come close. And that's a great example. Here's a guy, decorated college player, Alabama, SEC, seventh pick in the draft. And he had no more of an idea on how to block DeMarcus Lawrence than you or me.
Absolutely. Now, right.
That doesn't mean he's not going to get better, but I mean, he better get better. Right.
Right.
But, you got to put things in your toolbox once you get to the NFL, the technique. I always remember Rod Marinelli talking about pass rushers. And he said, first thing I tell him, that stuff that worked for you in college, it ain't going to work up here. So Evan Neal didn't struggle like that in college. You know what? All those guys that you handled in college, well, you ain't going to handle them with the same technique here.
Babe Laufenberg here on The Fan. What have you been noticing with your film study of the Commanders?
Well, obviously, looking at their Philadelphia game, which I watched yesterday, they couldn't protect Wentz. It just seems like, I don't know, they just seem like a team that can't get it right, don't they?
Yeah.
And the one thing they were going to be able to hang their hat on, we all agreed, was their defense.
D-line.
Now, obviously, they lost Chase Young last year, but they were horrible on defense last year. I mean, just at the bottom of almost every statistical category. So they got to figure out a way to play some defense. They keep drafting receivers, and they keep not really working out. Now, Terry McLaurin was a little bit different, but all these number one picks. And we'll see what Jahan Dotson, they took him, obviously, in the first round out of Penn State this year. We'll see what he brings to the table, but they're just a little limited offensively. Antonio Gibson, good player. They've got some good players, but they just don't have any real threats, And Carson Wentz, he's just hard to figure out, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, if you put 10 plays up, 8 of them would be, wow, this guy. I love this guy.
Yes.
6'5", 240, a little way throws, and then 2 of them you go, whoa, what was that? So, I think he's a guy that's confidence is shot. You can just tell. They can say what they want. He can say what he wants, but I just think his confidence is shot. It's not a guy that just puts the foot in the background and throws it. I'll tell you whose confidence is going well. Cooper Rush.
Mr. Rush. Did you see any of this? Did you see any of this? How much credit should we be giving the front office real quickly with the way he's playing or not?
Well, I give him credit for sticking with him. Obviously you wanted to get better. They wanted to get better. As I often say, Cooper Rush will not wow you with his physical ability. So he'll never be that guy, a team would bring in for a workout and say, whoa, did you see that? But I was not in the camp. Now, I wouldn't tell you that I knew he was going to do it, but I wasn't ready to say, oh, this guy can't do it. Mm. And I do believe he's better. You might say, well, everybody's better playing with the starters. I think he's better playing with guys that know where they're supposed to line up, what they're supposed to do, because that's his game. So in the preseason, many times guys are running around. They don't know the play. They don't get the call. They do the wrong thing. They're supposed to sit it down in the zone, and all of a sudden they're running 100 miles an hour across the zone. You're like, oh. And then those guys that have that athletic ability, they go back, they run around, they still make plays in the preseason. And he's not that guy. So it might be a little counterintuitive, but he's almost better off playing against and with starters than he is playing against and with, second and third team guys.
Great stuff.
And that's not the case for everybody. Some of the guys can really run around and do all the scrambling, make plays in the preseason. That doesn't hold up in the regular season. But they look good in the preseason. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Great stories. Great stuff, brother. Have a fantastic call. Thank you, Babe Laufenberg. Oh,
thank you, guys.
Babe on the Diamond Factory Hotline. Biggest NFL fluke and your biggest prediction do-over. What are they? Around the NFL. Final hour of Sean and RJ after this.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today. Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.